Good morning, everybody. I just want to welcome you all to our service of worship here in Railway Street today. To those who are here in the meeting house, and to those who are watching the service online or listening by phone, we're so glad to have you all here worshiping with us. It's also good to welcome some visitors. And after the service, we have tea and coffee in the link through this door here, and you're all very welcome, so please do come and join us. In particular, I want to welcome on your behalf Andrew Fraser, who is our guest preacher this morning. Andrew is the assistant minister in St Andrews in Belfast, working alongside Robin Aiken. You are very welcome indeed. Andrew and his wife and family are with us today, and I'm assured that it is his wife. So you're very, very welcome indeed, Andrew, and we look forward to hearing from the Lord as you minister to us this morning. Before I hand over to you, let me make a few announcements. I'm pleased to announce that Michael, our minister, returns from his holidays tomorrow and will be with us through the summer months until he takes his sabbatical towards the end of August and into September. And he will be preaching again next Sunday morning. I just want to remind you again that there'll be no evening services during July and August, but there will be two praise nights. The first one will take place in the link next Sunday evening on the 21st of July, and there will be another one in August. Stephen Johnson has asked me to announce to you that there will be no prayer focus tomorrow night, but you will be meeting as usual in August for that. Our Ganaway Youth Camp began yesterday, and Andrew assures me that they're well equipped with audiovisual. He drove the van down there yesterday, but the camp will run on until Thursday. It'll be a busy week of activities, fun challenges, and Bible teaching. The campers have very kindly invited us to join them all today for their lunchtime barbecue at 1:30. For those of you who have never been, Ganaway is on the Ballywalter Road in Mullyle, and it'd be great to see some of you there later on. Just another reminder that as far as possible, we intend keeping the link up running on Wednesday mornings throughout the summer. You and your friends will be most welcome between 10 a.m. and 12 noon for tea, coffee and light refreshments and a wee chat. And just the last announcement, some members of 422 are going out for tea at the Happy Days Cafe beside the Journey Church on Thursday, the 25th of July at 2:30. A few spaces may still be available, so if you haven't put your name down yet and would like to go, please would you speak to either Heather Barron or Heather Henry today.
Good morning, everyone. It's really lovely to be with you this morning. Thanks to Heidi for her warm welcome. And yes, I bring greetings from St Andrews in Belfast, where Robin is the minister. I know he really enjoyed his time here, and some of you have been asking about him this morning, so I'll let him know you're still thinking about him and praying for him as he's praying for you folks as well. This morning, we've gathered to worship God, to hear from him, to talk to him, to learn from him, and to be changed by him. As we begin our service, let's hear these words from Psalm 150, which call us to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's do that together as we stand and sing two items of praise, men of faith and filled with compassion. Well, let's continue to worship God as we pray to him. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you as the Most High God, the Creator of heaven and earth. You are seated on the throne, ruling over all that you have made. You are holding all things together by your awesome power. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. And we praise you because not only are you all-powerful, but you are also gracious and merciful, and slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And we thank you that you have displayed your boundless and steadfast love in your Son, Jesus, and that through him, by trusting in him, we can know your mercy. We can have a living hope and the promise of a great inheritance in heaven. We thank you that you have given us your Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to transform us. We thank you for every blessing that we receive from your hand. We thank you for your word, that you have revealed yourself to us in it, that through it we can know you better, we can understand how to live a life that pleases you. And so, Lord, for all that you have done, for all that you have given us, we rightly come to praise you and give thanks. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your steadfast love that you have set upon us. And conscious of who you are and all that you have done, and being sure of your mercy and love, we also confess our sin to you this morning. Your word tells us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just and will forgive us. And so this morning we confess that throughout this week we have neglected to worship you. We have made idols for ourselves. We have not sought first your kingdom. We have not been content with the things that you have given us. We have not loved our neighbors well. We have run towards temptation rather than away from it. We have judged by human appearance rather than looking at the heart. And the very sins that we judge in others, we have committed ourselves. And we have not been compassionate towards others as you have been to us. Father, forgive us when we have missed those opportunities to share your word, to share about you, to share about Jesus and what he has done for us. Lord, we pray that you would stir us to action, filled with compassion. Forgive our sins this morning, we pray. We thank you for your deep and endless mercy to rebels like us. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that through him we have forgiveness of sin. We thank you that you hear our prayer. We ask that you would hear them this morning, that you would have mercy on us, that you would forgive us, and that you would change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to pray to God again now as we bring our prayers for others before him. Let's pray together. Father, your word tells us that your face is towards those who believe in you, that your ears are attentive to our prayers. And so we thank you that you are not a distant God, but one who is incredibly personal and one who is concerned about us. And we thank you that we can bring our cares, our concerns, and our anxieties to you, knowing that you will hear and you will help. We thank you for your church here in Railway Street. We thank you for the light that it is in this community. Pray for Michael as he returns from leave. We pray that he would be refreshed and energized. We pray for the leadership here. We pray for those on session committee, those who lead organizations, those who lead ministries, Heidi and Hannah. We thank you for each one of them, Lord, for their desire to serve you and your people. We pray that you would give them great wisdom and discernment in all that they do. Bless them in their roles so that they may be a blessing to others. We pray for the young people and leaders who are currently at Ganaway. We thank you for that opportunity. So often time away is so formative for young people, and so we pray that as your word is opened, as it's shared with them, that it would land on good soil and take root. We pray for lots of fun, for lots of great memories to be made, but we also pray that lives would be changed, that some would acknowledge Jesus as their Savior, and that others would grow deeper in their faith. We pray for the leaders too. We pray for energy and good sleep. We pray that as they draw alongside the young people, they would take every opportunity to talk about you and the difference that you have made in their lives. We thank you for those who served in the Exodus team in Romania. We thank you for the different ways that they served you and showed your love to others. We pray all that they did would have had a lasting impact on children and young people and adults. And we pray the team themselves would have been encouraged and strengthened in their own faith. Lord, this morning we also want to pray for those close to us, those who we know who are suffering with sickness or loneliness or fear or loss. We pray for those who are in pain daily, those who are overwhelmed and struggling to cope with life. Lord, we lift them before you now. And we ask that you would give them great comfort and strength and courage. Draw close to all those who are struggling and suffering so they would be aware of your healing presence. We ask you to provide your peace and comfort for them at this time. Lord, we thank you that you are the ultimate source of all hope. And so we ask that you would use us, ask that you would use your people, your church here in Railway Street to bring hope and healing and light into the darkness around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, let me encourage you to take a Bible and turn to Mark chapter 4. It should be on page 1005 of the Pew Bibles. We're thinking this morning about the parable of the sower from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. This is God's word to us this morning. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that had gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But then the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parable. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path,
where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Amen, and we thank God for his word. Before we consider that, let's turn to him in prayer and ask for his help this morning. Father, as we come to this passage, which might be familiar to many of us, we pray that you would give us new insight and understanding, or that you would help us to recall truths that we have forgotten. Lord, incline our hearts to your word. Give us a desire for it, a love for it. Open our ears to really hear you this morning. We pray that as your word is proclaimed, it would land in good soil, that it would take root in our hearts and produce fruit in our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Are you a good listener? Maybe you are, and you can really tune in to a conversation, and you can follow it and process it and really understand what is being said. And it's really great when someone is like that, isn't it? That you really feel like they're really listening intently. They're trying to understand what is being said. A good listener seeks to understand and to hear. On the other hand, there are bad listeners. I'm sure you've had this experience where you're talking to somebody and they seem a bit distracted or distant, and you ask them a question and they say, "Oh, sorry, what were you saying again?" And that can be really frustrating. And in one sense, listening is a skill that we learn. We learn it as we grow up, as we develop, as we mature, we get to school and to university and to work, and we realize that we need to listen to understand and to do well. But listening can also be an attitude. We can decide how we're going to listen to someone. We can choose to listen to the flight attendant on the airplane as she gives the safety briefing or not. We can choose to listen to our teachers or our lecturers or not. And we can decide how we will listen to our friends or our family or our colleagues. And the same is true with the words of Jesus. In our passage this morning, Jesus uses the word to listen or to hear 8 times in those verses. And he starts the parable and he ends it with a summons to listen and hear. And when he says that, he means to listen intently, to really take it in and to follow it. And so when it comes to God's word, listening well, to understand it and apply it is really important. As we go through Mark's gospel, we get to Mark chapter 4, and Jesus begins to teach in parables. This is the first one that he teaches. We know that a parable is a story. It's taken from real life, but of course it teaches a deeper spiritual truth. And parables compel us to ask questions, to dig a little bit deeper, to understand the life-changing truth hidden within them. And as we unpack this parable this morning, we want to understand that believers are to hear God's word, to bear fruit in their lives, and to share the word, trusting that some will hear and believe. And our passage this morning, it really helps us on 2 levels. So it helps us with our evangelism, with our outreach. I'm sure at some point you've maybe looked at somebody and you've thought, why don't they just become a Christian? They come to church or they've heard the gospel. Why don't they just give their lives to the Lord? Well, our passage this morning helps us to answer that question. But it also helps us with our own discipleship. And it makes clear the importance of listening to God's word, letting it go deep into our hearts, and then putting it into practice. J.C. Ryle, the Bishop of Liverpool and theologian, writing about this passage, he said, "Of all the parables which the Lord Jesus spoke, none is more heart-searching or practical than this." And so that's my prayer this morning, that this would search our hearts, that it would change us, but that it would also be intensely practical for us. So our first point this morning is very simply, believers share the word, trusting a harvest will come. And so the parable has three basic elements. There's the sower, the seed, and the ground. The sower is it's anybody who shares God's word, the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, the small group leader, the person sharing the gospel with a friend. Anytime somebody shares from the word, they're being a sower. And then the seed is, of course, God's word. It's the living word, the story of God's great plan of redemption and rescue. And so sometimes this seed can seem very small, but when it finds the right conditions, it becomes very powerful and produces great fruit. And the four different types of soil represent four different hearts. They all hear the same message. There's nothing wrong with the sower. There's nothing wrong with the message. But each of the soils shows a different reaction. And so we're told that the sower, he goes out to sow. He reaches into his bag. He throws the seed out. And as a result of this, the seed lands on different types of soil. And this is quite hard for us, but imagine hearing this parable for the first time. Imagine being along the sea there as Jesus is in the boat and he's telling this story. Imagine just being there and hearing this for the first time. And of course, we could easily think, well, this is just a simple story about farming or seeds. And actually, even the disciples have to ask the question, what's the meaning of this? And so I kind of imagine them nodding their head as Jesus is telling the parable and they're saying, oh yes, Jesus, that's good. I like this. This is a good story. And then privately, they have to say, Jesus, what was that about? Can you explain that to us? And of course, Jesus does in the second half of the passage, which is a great help to us. It tells us in verse 4, he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And for this type of soil, Jesus explains in verse 15 that some people are like the seed along the path. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown. And so here, this refers to hard-hearted people, people who want nothing to do with Jesus. As soon as they hear the message, Satan just comes and snatches it away. They're blinded to the gospel. They hear the message, but it has no impact on them. It goes in one ear and out the other. And then we have the second type of soil in verse 5. It's shallow soil covering rocky ground. The seed sprouts quickly but fades. Jesus says this is like somebody who receives the word, but there's no root, and so they quickly fall away. And so this is talking about someone who seems to respond to the gospel. They seem to be really on fire for the Lord. They seem to be really committed. But after a time, they simply fall away. Things look good on the surface, but there's no depth. I remember being on a summer outreach team, and there was one boy who kept coming every day. He came early. He wanted to sit in on the team devotions. He wanted to stay for lunch. He was really open to the gospel. And during the week, he made a profession of faith, and there was real great joy and excitement. But a couple of months later, I returned to that church, and I asked about him. And they said that he was no longer around, and actually that he denied ever being a Christian. The troubles and the concerns of the world had crowded in on him, and he had no longer been following the Lord. Maybe you can think of people like that as well. The third type of soil is found in verse 7. The seed falls among thorns. The thorns choke it. Jesus says this is the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things come in and choke the world, making it unfruitful. And so for these people, the pull of the world is too great. They can't let go of their worldly treasure and possessions. And so theirs is a divided heart. They like what Jesus says, but they're more concerned about their career or keeping up with their neighbour or their next holiday. And as they focus on those things, well, then they forget about the words of Jesus. Only one of the four soils produces fruit, as we know, verse 8. Other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, 60, 100 times. And so this represents people who hear the word, accept it, and allow it to produce fruit in their lives. Now, it's not to say that these people don't have any struggles or troubles. No soil is free of weeds or rocks. But for these people, when persecution or trouble comes, they continue on the course. Worries, wealth, personal desires do not distract them from living for Jesus. They accept the word, they allow it to take root, and it produces great fruit in their life. One commentator talking about this type of heart wrote, "Christ will be truly loved, trusted in, followed, and obeyed. And there will be evidence of humility, patience, gentleness. There will be something that can be seen." And so good seed in good soil produces good fruit. We say that God's word is living and active, and our passage is a great example of this, because as God's word is read and explained week by week, even this morning, each of these responses is probably present here this morning. And so I wonder if you can recognize your own heart in this story. In verse 8, we're told that when the gospel finds good soil, it produces a crop. There's a super harvest, sometimes 100 times. And so this explains how God's kingdom grows. It starts small. As the gospel is shared, as more people believe, there is a harvest. And of course, there'll be a great harvest at the end of time when Jesus gathers his people together. So how does this help us with our evangelism? Well, firstly, it helps us to be realistic. As we share the word, as we reach out to people, as we invite them to church, as we tell children and young people about the gospel, some seed will take root. Some won't, as much as we would like it to, but in some cases it will. And so it encourages us to keep telling people to listen to God's word, to study it, to share it with them, to try and help them to understand it. And as we do that, God works in people's lives. We must remember that it's not us who is able to convert people. It's simply a work of the Lord. That's what Jesus says in verse 11. He says to the disciples, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything else is in parables." And so a secret isn't hard to understand, but it needs to be revealed to be known. For example, a teacher may decide to set a surprise test, but if the teacher then tells half of the class about it, it's a secret that has been revealed. Half the class know, half the class don't. And it's the same with the parables of Jesus. Those who are inside the kingdom, but they know the secret has been revealed to them. God has opened their eyes and their hearts. But for those outside, they do not understand. And that's what Jesus makes clear by quoting the prophet Isaiah in verse 12 there. He says, "Some will hear and not understand. They will not believe." And so we are called to be sowers of the word. We are called to share it, to scatter the seed wherever we go, whoever we're with. And then we trust that the Lord will produce a harvest better than we could imagine. And so let's sow the gospel freely, knowing that, yes, some will reject it, but others will accept it. We reach out, we do our evangelism, we go on mission, trusting that our good Father will bring about change. But maybe you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian. You recognize yourself as maybe one of those three types of soils, the first three. Maybe you know that you're hard-hearted towards this, or you're a bit shallow, or your heart is divided. But you feel the Lord is calling and you want to be like that good soil. Well, the good news is there is a divine gardener who can break up hard ground. He can uproot rocks. He can remove the thorns. Jesus can remove a heart of stone and give us a new heart, a heart that is receptive to him. So as we think about this passage, as we think about our outreach, our mission, our evangelism, we continue to sow the seed, knowing that God will bring a harvest in his time. And so the passage helps us to understand our role in evangelism and God's role as well. But what does it say to those of us who are Christians here this morning? Because I think it says more to us than just you should sow the seed. I think there's more to it than that. And this brings us to our second point this morning. Believers hear the word to produce fruit in their lives. During one of the lockdowns, we decided, like many others, to do a bit of work in the garden. And I know nothing about gardening, but I know it's important that there needs to be the right conditions for the plants to grow. And so at the front of our house, there is a patch that we went to work on, and we were removing some old soil and grass, and we picked away the stones, and we removed the weeds, and we hacked away at old roots. And once that was done, we planted the seed, and we hoped that we would see some produce from it. But I know that if I hadn't prepared the ground, if I had just put those new seeds into the old soil with all the other plants and weeds that were already there, well, they wouldn't have stood a chance. They would have had no chance to grow. But yet after I had done that, after I had planted them, I didn't just leave them on their own. There were things that I had to do. I had to water them. I had to keep going and picking out bits of debris. I had to make sure the conditions were right for those plants to flourish. And I now know that in gardening, that there's life in the seed. And so under the right conditions, it will produce something beautiful. And so similarly, if the seed of the word is planted in good soil, in receptive hearts, if it's continued to be cultivated, something beautiful will grow. And that something is the character of Jesus. Now, it's fair to say that as Christians, our hearts aren't always good soil, are they? There are times when we can identify with each of those different types of soil. But the danger for us is if we don't tend our hearts, if we don't look after them, if we don't take away the weeds and the rocks and the things that are crowding in on us, then our hearts will start to deteriorate. Our hearts will become crowded at first, concerned more about the cares of the world, and then they'll become shallow, and then they'll become hard. And so maybe this morning you have come to church, and you're a Christian and you love the Lord, but you just feel that your heart isn't right. You just feel that you're not in the right place, you're struggling to read, you're struggling to pray. Maybe you're resisting the Bible's teaching in an area of your life. Ask the Lord to soften your heart by his Spirit. Turn to him and ask him to remove those things that are crowding in on you, the things that are making your hard heart. Or maybe you feel a bit shallow this morning. Maybe you have a good understanding of the gospel, but the roots aren't deep. But you have a desire to grow. Maybe there's someone that you could talk to. Maybe you could ask someone to read the Bible with you over the summer. Maybe you could take Mark's gospel and read it with somebody or read it as a group to grow those roots deep within you. Or maybe the concerns of the world are just crowding in on you, and you've taken your eyes off the treasure of the gospel and you're consumed with belongings or wealth. You can ask the Lord to reorientate your heart. Ask him to help you to prioritize what he prioritizes and to make your heart like his. And so, yes, this passage absolutely encourages us to sow the seed, to be sowers, to witness to others, but it also asks us a very deep and personal question. It says to us this morning, how is your heart? What's the condition of your heart, of my heart, this morning? How open is it to receiving God's word? Are our ears open and listening, or are they shut? How can we have good hearts that are receptive to the word? Well, here's some practical things we could maybe do. We can take time from God's word, free from distraction. We can set that time aside to make sure we have that. We can expect God to speak every time we come to his word, every time his word is opened, whether that's at home or here or at a small group or wherever you are. We can expect God to speak to us and change us. We can make notes on sermons or talks to help our focus. And we can pray. We can pray that God would soften our hearts, that he would give us ears to hear, hearts to love, hearts to obey and to follow. We can't make ourselves grow any more than I can force the plants to grow in my garden. But we can tend them and keep them soft and receptive. And so this parable encourages us to keep listening to the word because it will produce fruit in us. Jesus will become more and more evident in us. But it's hearing that is active. It's hearing that is ongoing. It's hearing that informs and shapes our character. So perhaps this passage this morning just helps us to reflect and consider our hearts. What type of soil are we in this passage? How is our hearing? Are we good listeners? This passage is a great motivation to dig into God's word, to long to hear him speak, to come to his word and allow those truths to shape our hearts. And so Jesus urges us to keep listening. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Amen. Let's take a moment to pray together. Father, in response to your word, we ask that you would give us open ears and receptive hearts, so that as we study your word, it goes deep and changes us, that it would produce a good fruit in us. Keep our hearts tender, Lord. Keep them from being choked out from the cares of the world. And help us to share your word with others. Help us to spread your word far and wide, trusting that as we do that, you will bring some to saving faith. Father, we look forward to that great day when you will bring in the harvest and we will be gathered with your people, together praising you forever. Until that day, Lord, keep us focused on you. Keep our ears open, keep our hearts soft. Help us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close our service as we stand together and sing, "Go forth and tell." And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.